All right, it is 9:54 p.m. on Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. And this is Basketball This Week Done Quickly. All right, let's hop into it. There's plenty of news. I think the big news of the week. Yeah, let's start with the big news. Now let's get around to it. We'll start with small news. Joel Embiid returned today. I guess it's big news for Sixers fans. He came back, looked like he was in great shape. Should be interesting because they're going to be pretty firmly into playing. Maybe this will be good for the Sixers. They've their team that's kind of taken the first round pretty lightly in the Embiid era to their detriment. So maybe having to earn their way in will do it. They like obviously Embiid and healthy. The Sixers are a pretty good team when Embiid is healthy. They looked like one of the better teams in the league this year before he went down. So it's interesting for them to be seated in that position. So it's not a small story. It's just a small story of the week. And Embiid being back is pretty big. Next story I'd like to talk about is Malachi Flynn scoring 50 points today off the bench. And a loss for the Detroit Pistons. There have been some pretty strange 50-point games throughout history. You can go look them up. This is one of the stranger ones, though, because it just, like, he scored 50, but there was never any point in the game where, like, the Hawks were ever in. At least in the second, I didn't watch the whole game. I only watched some of the third and fourth quarter. There's never any point where it felt like the Hawks were in major danger of losing that game, even though they let some guy score 50 on them. it's just one of those wild quirks. There's few enough 50-point scorers that it's going to go down in history because people remember that. So. Like just still probably like fewer than 50 different people that have scored 50 points throughout NBA history. There's like the same guys have scored 50 multiple times. Like Booker has several 50 point games. Durant has several 50 point games, and of course Wilt has more 50-point games than anybody could count. So there's been plenty of 50-point games, but only a small number of people who have done it. So it's pretty impressive for sure. Pretty impressive. And I guess it's probably the big news this week is college basketball. First on the men's side, we had some pretty interesting games the last weekend. Had a few upsets that people were begging for. Those happened, but as always, upsets it's either Duke winning, which people hate, or Alabama getting a fairly easy Clemson team that played very tough. So to call them easy is not fair at all. Like that, I'm sorry for that. I apologize for saying that, but. At least easier. It was an easier win for them than it would have been if they would have played Arizona. And that's what you get. But all of this is just window dressing, right? Like the thing that's going to happen is that UConn is going to win. They look so much better than everybody else. I'm fairly confident that they're gonna get this win. So yeah, they could lose. It could happen. But they look really good. Well, what's funny is like the more interesting game is probably NC State versus Purdue. You know, Purdue should definitely win this one, but the reason it's interesting is because of the DJ Burns versus Zach Edey matchup. It's two very, 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 very big men who probably won't play in the NBA very much, squaring off in what's going to be an very interesting matchup. I'm very excited to see it. DJ Burns is so much fun. He's so much fun. And, you know, I say it's not likely to happen in NBA, but who knows? Like Zach Edey right now is projected to be a lottery pick. That might be more of a commentary on this lottery. There are apparently executives saying it's the worst lottery ever. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I think it's definitely a lottery where it's a mystery box. And if it does end up being the worst ever, I won't be shocked. But I think there's talent. I don't know what I'm even basing it on, really. I'm not basing it on anything, but I think there's talent there. Just maybe not like that top flight center talent. But there are going to be some open positions in the league next year, and some rookies are going to have to fill it, and I think there's some rookies who can fill them. So I don't know. Zach Edey, he's a player who's gotten better every single year of his career. Was terrible. Well, not terrible, but he was so slow when he started out. He's much, much faster now. Still probably not fast enough to play regularly in the NBA, but, you know, he's a guy who's gotten better every year, so I could see betting on that. It's not a bet I would, like, make with the lottery, but if Giovanni is saying that he's a lottery pick and then projecting him to the Blazers, I think we know which lottery team is considering picking him. So that would be an interesting landing spot for him to, you know, play behind Ayton. We'll see how that goes. Long way to go. And Burns, like, is so offensively skilled. He's so skilled that, like, you just have to, like, I don't want to give up on the guy. I want it to work. He's too short, but I really want it to work somehow, so I'm hoping against hope he can find a way to make it work in the NBA. It's not very likely, but man, his game is so fun to watch for sure. And of course, the biggest news is the Iowa versus LSU game featuring Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese was one of the highest rated college games ever. Which is amazing when you know how few people watch TV now. And it wasn't just like one of the best women's games ever. It was just one of the best games ever as far as like ratings go. And it's pretty amazing. It was a very fun game. I happened to have to catch most of it on audio because I blew out a tire during the game while I was driving to get some Dairy Queen. you need to know that story of my life, and just popped a tire and had to listen to the game on the radio, but still it was quite entertaining, and I'm glad I got to experience it for sure. Yeah, I guess a lot of America got to experience it too. All right, that's it for news. Team of the week. This is a tough one because there's a lot of people playing really good basketball right now. I ultimately came down on the side of giving to the Lakers just because I don't want to do repeats. So that's why it's not just like the Celtics again. because it could just be the Celtics again. They clinched the best record in the league. But, you know, they had a couple of losses. So I'll give it to the Lakers here. Mainly over the strength of, I looked at several teams for this position. I tried to find a team that had played anybody like that was good. Like it's kind of the way things, the schedule has been these past 2 weeks is most teams are just picking up wins. Somehow every team in the league is playing the worst teams in the league these past couple weeks. So Lakers are no different, but that big comeback against the Bucks is pretty much why I'm giving them the nod here, because that was kind of unbelievable that happened and that the Lakers won that game. I'm still having trouble believing that happened, but I watched it and it happened. So hey, things are not hot for the Bucks right now. If I was a reactionary, I would be naming the Bucks the embarrassment of the week because they just lost to the Grizzlies after losing to the Wizards just the other night. So if I was a reactionary, I would give them embarrassment of the week, but I'm not. Came so close, but it's the Jazz. I try not to hit up teams that are not tanking when they lose a lot, but or that are tanking when they lose a lot. But since the Jazz definitely weren't tanking this whole year, or tanking most of the year, I'm gonna go ahead and give it to them because man, they've just stunk lately, and they could be tanking. They very well could be tanking, but like. The rule is when teams get to that 10 mark is when we got to start considering them for this embarrassment, and they hit the 10 losses in a row. So I'm going to give it to them. They've been really bad lately. Not as bad as the Raptors, but the Raptors won last week. So quote unquote won last week. So I'll go ahead and toss it over to the Jazz because they've been just playing some terrible basketball lately. Non-basketball. Okay, this is what's been on my mind lately. Amazon is shutting down those non-checkout stores. And one of the things we learned as Amazon was shutting down those non-checkout stores is apparently these stores were largely fueled by humans somehow. It doesn't get into specifics of how humans were actually the ones who were making these stores work. Now, what Amazon claimed is that these stores were they just had cameras that just detected what you bought and then successfully charged you for it. But there was clearly some humans pushing the buttons. Now, I'm not going to be one of these people. Like, there are people who will say, oh, LOL, it was just all being done. Every single thing was just being done by overseas camera monitors, which isn't exactly true. Like, there were way too many transactions. Like, the cameras were clearly doing something. They weren't lying 100% about the cameras. But it's still very funny that some part of the heavy lifting of this project was being done by humans pressing a button somewhere. I've been there, man. I've had that job in the past. I worked for a place, and I'm not going to say it here because I think I signed a paper that said I wouldn't say it here, but I worked for a fairly, by here I mean on a podcast, but I worked for a company that, a fairly big company, and there was a feature where you had to do an interview with somebody on the application, and it was just a standard video call. It was like a FaceTime call, basically. It wasn't Apple. I have to say that because I've worked for Apple, but it wasn't them. It was a different large company. And there was an issue where the call would get stuck on the answers and for infinity. So the person manning the phones would never get any more calls because they were just stuck in with this other line. Even though the person had long hung up, they were stuck on that line. And I had to like just sit there and watch cues and watch like a script of cues and look to see when somebody had been on a long time and say, hey, can you reset your app? And that was my job. That was something a computer could have done, but or should have been able to do, but nobody designed it. They had a team of six of us at one point who had to sit there and watch these cues and see when they got long, and then you know tell somebody about it when it happened. As much as we like to think that tech has solved everything, these big companies do a lot of cheating, and there's still a lot of people involved in a lot of things of tech. So not everything is magic. If it seems like it's too good to be true, it seems like there's no way that tech could solve this, there's a good chance there might be a human involved somewhere in the mix. All right, that's going to do it for this one. Stay safe, my beautiful friends, and I will talk to y'all next time.